Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, would you turn your Bible to Philippians 2 with me? Philippians 2. Tonight we're going to talk about Jesus as the suffering king. We're going to study a short passage of scripture, only a few verses. And I'm going to ask you, after a week of studying about Jesus the King, have you personally, for yourself, made the decision to believe in Jesus? Jesus is our suffering king. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 6 and go to verse 11. This is all words about Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's look at this in three parts: incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection. If you look at these opening statements about the incarnation, we review some things that we've already learned this week, right? Let's go to our next slide here. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God. In your Bible, it may say in very form God. This is really Jesus' pre-existence because Jesus was with God in the beginning. He was an instrument in creation. So he existed before his earthly human life here on earth. He was and is in every way God. But what did he do? He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to. He opened himself to becoming like one of us. We talked about that. This is the incarnation. He put on flesh. Instead of holding tightly to the rights and privileges of being God, he emptied himself. He made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant. What a king. Contrast that with people who hold power or prominence in our society. Think about how many times in your history class you've heard of a king who gave up the palace in order to live in the streets with the commoners. Think about if you've ever heard of the wealthy CEOs or professional athletes deciding to ride the city bus with the maintenance workers. Think about if you've ever even seen the popular kids at school take a lunch table with other students who are looked down upon. It's not normal for those who have position and prominence to willingly let go of that in order to associate with the lowly. But that's what your king did. He took off the rights and privileges of being God and entered into this broken humanity. He exchanged beauty for beauty for brokenness. He exchanged perfection for a world of imperfections, and he actually took on a body that had imperfections. He exchanged perfect community and harmony for a world that's full of broken relationships. He exchanged comfort for pain because he did not consider equality was something to be grasped or clenched onto. Instead, he released that and became like one of us and entered into our world. That's the incarnation. But it doesn't stop there, right? Verse 8, the crucifixion. It says he humbled himself. He experienced rejection. He was falsely accused. He was mocked by people he had created. He was a victim of brutality and ultimate humiliation. He was crucified, it says. And this was, I want you to know, this was the most ugly form of execution that the Roman Empire had. A criminal who was crucified, this was for the worst of the worst. To be crucified meant that you were hung by two nails on your hands or your arms and a nail through your feet onto a cross. And you hung there, and all you could do to catch a breath was to press against your nailed-in feet or pull up with your nailed-in arms to catch your breath. So every time you gasp for breath, excruciating pain flowed through your body. Ultimately, a person who was crucified would die of asphyxiation or suffocation, or your body would experience such violent trauma that your body would go into shock and just start to shut down. He humbled himself and became obedient, even to the worst form of death, death on a cross. He cooperated with his own execution. This is incredible. The God of the universe cooperated with his execution. He didn't try to defend himself. He was obedient to the redemption plan. There needed to be payment for sin in order to give any of us a shot. And so he was obedient to the plan of God and gave up his life for you and for me. Here's a few other verses from 1 Peter that always blow me away. These talk about Jesus' crucifixion. When they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And it goes on. In verse 24, it says, he himself bore our sins, in other words, took the weight of our sins and the penalty for our sins on himself, in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Why would our King do this? It was God's will and God's plan to make it possible for people like you and I to be restored in our relationship with God, because he wanted to make it possible for us to have peace with God and peace with each other. He did it because he wanted heaven for you. Philippians 2 verses 9 and 10 then moves us into how he resurrected. He overcame the ultimate enemy of mankind. He overcame death. And it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, or super exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Why? Because he's the King. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow and tongue will confess eventually. They'll realize that he is king at the final judgment, right? So the important thing is to acknowledge that now, while you have a chance to put your faith in him and believe in him and ask for his forgiveness so that you can be considered righteous before a holy God and enter into heaven. There won't be any sin in heaven. There won't be any sinners in heaven. It's only by Jesus offering us his righteousness and exchanging that for our sins. That's what he did on the cross. He took on our sins, and in return, he gives us his righteousness if we believe in Jesus. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll be exalted and honored as that someday. But the Bible says it's important that you recognize that now, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord or King, it says you will be saved from judgment and from hell. I want to ask you a few very blunt questions tonight. One, do you know how much Jesus loves you? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. How do you know someone who really loves you? They're willing to sacrifice for you. What would be an ultimate sacrifice to make? Well, somebody gives their life for you. That shows the ultimate kind of love. And here's another verse that you guys probably recognize, John 3:16. For God so, what? He loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but will have eternal life. Have you responded to the love of your suffering King? John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. It's talking about heaven. And it also means that we get to have new life with him and his spirit in us right now. Have you made the decision to believe in Jesus for yourself? I know if you're at a camp like this, a lot of you have families who believe in Jesus. That's wonderful. But have you thought for yourself, do I really believe in Jesus? Do I really want to be a Christian? Do I really want to follow Jesus and obey Jesus because he's the true King? Do you, for yourself, believe in Jesus? Let me review the gospel in another way. We've done this several ways, and I've alluded to several of these concepts along the way, but I want it to be crystal clear tonight what the good news is. Let's put it this way. The left column is the bad news. The right-hand column is the good news. And it's important that you understand the bad news, because unless you really understand the bad news, the good news doesn't sound that amazing. The bad news is this: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, meaning we don't live up to God's holy laws. We've fought against God. We've fought against our neighbor. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You have to have a little humility to agree with that. But if you're honest with yourself, you can recognize ways that you've disobeyed the Ten Commandments. You can think of some ways when you haven't acted in love. You can think of some thoughts you've had that were wrong. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible says very clearly that God, because he's a holy king, cannot accept any unholiness in his presence. If God, a holy God, let sinners into heaven, a perfect place, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. It would just be a replay of the mess here in this world. As a result, the penalty for sin is death and separation from God. But that's where Jesus comes in. Because he loves you, and he was willing to let go of the rights and privileges of being God in order to come to earth and put on flesh and live as a servant and die innocently on a cross. Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sins. The penalty's been paid. You don't have to earn your way into heaven. You don't have to earn God's grace. In fact, you can't, because even in the moments I try hardest to do what's right, I still find myself messing up. I still find myself giving into temptation. I still find my emotions leading me to hate my neighbor and to act rudely toward other people. You have no shot through your own effort. It's only if you recognize this amazing news that Jesus already paid the penalty for your sin. You don't have to do anything except for believe in Jesus and accept the free gift of salvation. Second piece of the good news has to be true as well for any of this to be good at all. Jesus rose from the dead and offers me new life. If Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, why would we expect that we'll have life eternally someday? But no, Jesus conquered the grave. And as a result, we can have hope that if we accept Jesus as king and believe in him and trust in his love, that we can have a place in heaven with God forever. Do you believe that? Really, truly, for yourself, do you believe in Jesus? I'm going to end like this. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And we're going to do a little bit of a decision point here. I'm going to go from section to section. And as I come upon your section, I'm going to ask if there's anyone who wants to declare tonight, I believe in Jesus for the first time, for yourself. A lot of you have perhaps done that before, and that's wonderful. You don't need to do it again. But if you've never for yourself declared, I believe in Jesus, he's my Savior and my King, and I'm looking to him for eternal life and for new life with him today. If you, after a week of studying about our King, are ready to make that decision for yourself, I'm going to ask that you just look up at me and look at one of your counselors as well. Because we'd like to help you solidify a commitment to Jesus. And then after I come back on stage, all those who would like to pray and tell Jesus that they believe in him through a simple prayer, I'll lead you in that, okay? So let's bow our heads right now. I'm going to start off in the back right section here, so I need all of our heads bowed except for our counselors and cabin leaders. And if you're in this back right section, all eyes closed here. If it just feels like this all makes sense, and God has used what you've learned about Jesus this week to make you want to decide for yourself to believe in Jesus, I want to ask that you would look up at me and also look at your counselor. Anybody else ready to make that commitment for yourself? Look at me and look at your counselor. That's awesome. All right, back left section here. All heads bowed. This is just you and God and myself and your counselor. We just want to make sure that we're able to follow up and encourage you and applaud your decision tonight. Okay, so if anybody in this back left section would like to tonight say, I'm ready to personally for myself declare, I believe in Jesus. Why don't you look up at me and also look at one of your cabin leaders. It's incredible, guys. It's important to make these decisions where you decide for yourself what you believe. Awesome, you can put your heads down. All right, everybody in this front section, we can do both sides at once. All right, with every head bowed still, because this is just a personal thing. Is there anybody in these front two sections that tonight, by looking at me and looking at your counselor, would say, yeah, I'm ready to believe in Jesus and commit myself to being a follower of Jesus Christ? Would you look at me and look at also at one of your cabin leaders? That's great. All right, everybody, heads bowed for a minute. If you were one of those that wanted to make that decision tonight, I'm just going to lead you in a short prayer, and you can say it just in your head silently. That's fine. God hears our thoughts and hears our heart. But just repeat after me in your own mind as I lead you through this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you came to earth, died on the cross for my sins, and rose from the dead. Thank you for loving a sinner like me. Please forgive me and come into my life as my Savior and King. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody, heads up. There were several here in this room who decided for themselves tonight that they believe in Jesus and want to follow Jesus as their King. Why don't we give a big round of applause for those who've done that? Let me just say a quick prayer for all of us as our worship team leads us, or comes to lead us in one more song.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.